Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and today is the show for Friday, December the 2nd, 2016. We're going to be going into chapters 17 and 18 of the first book of Shemuel, that's Samuel. And it begins with a story about David, which is pronounced Dawid, and Goliath, which is pronounced Goliath, correctly. They have changed the spelling and seriously tampered with the pronunciation of both names, which I will use correctly on the show. So, let's get into chapter 17, verse 1. The Pelishtim gathered their armies for battle and were gathered at Socho 7755, which was of Yehuda, that's in the territory of Yehuda, Judah in your King James, and camped between Socho and Azekah, 5825, in the Ephes Damim, 658. Verse 2. Shaul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, 425, and set in order, that's 6186, that's setting the battle array in order, set in order the battle to meet the Pelishtim, you know, the Philistines. Verse 3, the Pelishtim stood on a hill on the one side, and Israel stood on a hill on the other side, and a valley was between them. They were facing each other across a valley. Now, pardon me, I had to clear the pipes out a little bit there. Verse 4. A man of the space between two armies, that's all one word, 1143, Habenayim, as a champion, went forth from the camp of the Pelishtim, named Goliath, 1555, of Gath, whose height, 1363, was 6 cubits and a span. He was a giant. He was 9'4" plus or minus. And you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 19, and 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5 on that. He wasn't a normal man. He was of another species. Still having bronchial trouble here, folks, and I have to take a break just for a second every once in a while. Verse 5, a helmet, 3553, of bronze was upon his head. Now, bronze is a mixture of tin and brass, and it's much, much stronger and more heat resistant and tougher than straight brass or straight tin. And he wore, 3847, a breastplate, 8302, of scale armor, 7193. And this scale armor is very effective in diverting sword strikes and arrows and spear thrust and stuff. It's much better than regular armor. And the weight, 4948 of the breast armor, 5,000 shekels of bronze. He was real big, and that's a lot of bronze. Verse 6, and shin guards, 4697, of bronze upon his legs, and a javelin, 3591, of bronze between his shoulders, 3802. They had like a quiver, an arrow quiver on the back, and the javelin is a short thrusting or throwing spear, not like a regular full battle spear. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But he could reach over his shoulder if his spear was broken or something, if he needed that, and just whip that short javelin out. And it's usually sharp on both ends. The Romans used them a lot. Verse 7, the shaft, 2671, of his spear, 2595. Now, that's the full battle spear for long thrusting and striking, was like a weaver's, 707, beam, 4500. The head, 3852, of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. That was not a bronze tip. That was a forged iron tip sharpened. And a man bearing his shield, 6793, went before him. Verse 8. He stood and cried to the ranks, 4634, of Israel, and said to them, why are you come forth to set in order your battle? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Shaul? Choose your man, and let him come down to me. Just totally arrogant. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your slaves. But if I prevail, 3201, that means to be able, against him and kill him, then you shall become our slaves and serve us. Verse 10, said the Philistine, and the Philistine, I taunt, 2778, the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man so we can fight together. This great big giant's out there. Very intimidating. Just a great big, you know, be like a regular fellow off the street going in, and one of those great big giant guys from WWE just throws him all over the ring. One of those great big muscle-bound monsters. Well, that's what they were looking at. This guy was 9 foot plus. Verse 11. When Shaul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed, 2865, and feared, 3372, greatly, 3966. Well, I guess so. They were looking at this great big monster guy out in that field. These huge weapons. Well, here comes help. Verse 12. Dawid, the son, the son of that man of Ephrathi from Beit Lehem, Yehuda, whose name was Yishai, that's Jesse, He had 8 sons, and the man went with men as an old man to 204 in the days of Shaul. He traveled along with his boys, and he was the pappy, but he stayed in the background because he was an old man. Verse 13. The 3 eldest, 14, 19, literally the greatest, sons of Yishai went and walked after Saul to the battle, 4421. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next in rank, in other words, the secondborn, 4932, to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. Verse 14, Dawid was the youngest, and the 3 eldest went following Shaul. But Dawid went and returned from near Shaul to shepherd his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 16, the Pelishti approached at early morning and at evening and took his stand. Pardon me for a minute. Yep, I get choked up every once in a while. Took his stand, 33:20, 40 days. He was out there mocking Israel for 40 days. Verse 17. Yishai said to Dawid his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of this parched corn, 7039, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of your brothers. 18. And carry these 10 sliced cheeses, that's 2757 and 2461, to the captain of their 1,000, and observe, 6485, your brother's welfare, 7965, literally their peace, 7 shalom, and take their token, 6161, and that is arubatam, and that's proof of well-being. Okay, verse 19. Now Shaul and they and all the fighting and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Pelishtim. Verse 20. Dawid rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, in other words, one of his servants, and took and went as Yishai had commanded him, and he came to the entrenchment, 4570 Magala, as the army, 2428, was going forth to the battle line, 4634, and shouted a war cry, 7321, for the battle. Israel and the Pelishtim had arranged battle line meeting battle line. In other words, they were all lined up against each other. Verse 22. Dawid left his baggage, 3627, that means instruments, things, weapons, whatever, in the hand of the keeper of the baggage train. In other words, the guy in the rear with the gear. And ran to the battle line and came and asked peace. 7592-7965. Asked peace of his brothers. And as he spoke with them, behold, there came up the man of the space between the armies. In other words, that's a figure of speech for the guy that went out in between the armies without any protection, that was braver than the rest. Okay. The Pelishti of Gath, Goliath by name, from the ranks of the Pelishtim, and spoke the same words, you know, mocking Israel. And David heard. Verse 24. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled, 5127, from his presence, and were much afraid. Verse 25. The men of Israel said, do you see this man that has come up? Surely to taunt Israel he has come up. And it shall be the man who kills him, the king will enrich him, 6328, with great riches, 6329, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free, 2670, in Israel. And that free, 2670, is kafeshi, and that means free from taxes and royal levy. In other words, they wouldn't be taxed anymore. This household would be free and clear. Let me get a hit of iced tea and wet my pipes down a little bit. Verse 26. David spoke to the men standing by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Pelishti and takes away the reproach, 2781, from upon Israel? Because who is this possessor of foreskin, 6189, a possessor as a foreskin as uncircumcised? This possessor of foreskin, Pelishti, that he should taunt the ranks of Elohim Chaim. And that means the living God, God that lives. Okay, Elohim, the divine being, Chaim, 2416, that lives. Verse 27, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so it shall be done to the man that kills him. In other words, they repeated the thing about getting the daughter and great riches and no taxes. Verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, for what reason did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence, 2087, and the willfulness, 7455, of your heart, because you were come down that you might see the battle. In other words, this was his youngest brother, and he didn't have any respect for him. He's supposed to keep the sheep. So he just gets all over him. He's the eldest brother, and he's the big guy in the family, supposed to be the leader. Verse 29. Said David, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? You know, all I did was ask, in other words. Verse 30. And he turned away from beside him toward the front of another, and spoke after the same manner. And the people spoke again after the former manner. In other words, they gave him the story about the daughter and the riches and no taxes again. Verse 31. The words were heard which David spoke and were reported before Shaul. And he sent for him. Well, Shaul knew him because David was the one that played the lyre to calm him down when he got depressed. Verse 32. Said David to Shaul, let no Adam's heart fail over him. Your servant will go and fight with this Pelishti. Well, he's the youngest son of Yishai. And Saul didn't think much of him except as a musician. Verse 33, said Saul to David. Let me clear my pipes again. Oh, that gets rough at times. I'm doing the best I can, folks, but that's old age. That's the way it is. Said Saul to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, because you are a boy, 5288, and he is a man of war from his youth, 5271. See, no respect. Well, you're just a boy. Verse 34, said David to Saul, your servant was a shepherd of his father's sheep, and if there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, verse 35, I went forth after it and smote it and rescued it from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I seized 2388 its beard and smote it and slew it. Verse 36, your servant has slain both lion and bear, and this possessor of foreskin Palishti shall be as one of them, seeing he has taunted the ranks of Elohim Chaim. There's that the God who lives again. So he's not pleased. Okay. Verse 37. Said David, Yahweh that saved me from the paw, 3027, literally as the hand, and also as a symbol of power, from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will save me from the hand, literally the power, of this Palishti. Said Saul to David, go, and Yahweh be with you. Verse 38, Saul clothed 3847, David with armor, 4055, and put a helmet of bronze upon his head. He also clothed him with breast armor, 8302. Verse 39, David girded his sword over his armor and labored in vain, 2974, to walk, 1980, because he had not tested with it. 5254. In other words, he was so loaded with armor he couldn't walk. Verse, continuing on in 39. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these because I have not tested them. And David took them off from upon him. He was loaded down. He was carrying everything but the kitchen sink, and maybe that was tucked in a pocket. And he just couldn't move with it. Verse 40. He took up his staff, 4371, that's Makelo, in his hand, and chose five smooth stones from the wadi, that's the riverbed, and put them in his shepherd's bag. These are round stones that he used in his sling, which he had in a pouch. And with his sling, 7050, in his hand, he drew near, 5066, to the Palishti. And the sling is Wakaleo. 41. The Palishti came walking and approached, 7131, toward David, and the man carried the shield before him. He had an armor bearer. 42, when the Pelishti looked, 5027, and saw, 7200, Dawid, he had contempt, 959, for him because he was a boy, ruddy and of a beautiful appearance. He was a good-looking young fella, but he was just a boy. Verse 43. Verse 43, you can check your Apocrypha, Psalm 151, verse 6. The regular Psalms end at 150, and Psalm 151 is in the Apocrypha. Said the Pelishti to Dawid, "Am I a dog that you come towards me with a staff?" And the Pelishti cursed, 7043, Dawid by his Elohim. In other words, the gods of the Philistines. The false little idol gods, which weren't real. Verse 44, said the Pelishti to Dawid, "Come towards me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." In other words, I'm going to scatter you all over the place. Verse 45. Pay close attention to this. Said Dawid to the Pelishti, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, Elohe of the ranks of Israel," that means the God of, "whom you have taunted." Verse 46. "This day Yahweh will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take off," 5493, "your head from upon you, and I will give the carcasses," 6297, "of the army of the Pelishtim this day to the birds of the air and to the living creatures of the land, that all the land shall know that there is an Elohim in Israel," a divine being in Israel, that'd be Yahweh. Verse 47, "and all this assembly shall know that Yahweh does not save with the sword and the spear, because the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hands." That's pretty powerful stuff right there. And he's deadly serious about it. He's not fooling. Very, very serious. Verse 48. "It was when the Pelishti rose up and walked and approached to meet Dawid that Dawid made haste and ran toward the army to meet the Pelishti." In other words, he didn't run away. He ran right at him. Verse 49. "Dawid put his hand into his bag and took from there a stone and slung it," 7049, "and smote the Pelishti in his forehead," 4696, "and the stone sunk," 2883, "into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the ground." He shattered his skull, in other words, hit him right in the forehead, and caved in his forehead and killed him. One stone, whop! That's Yahweh's hand right there. Verse 50. "So Dawid prevailed," 2388, "over the Pelishti with a sling and a stone, and smote the Pelishti and slew him, and no sword in the hand of Dawid." Now, verse 50, you can reference 2 Samuel 21, verse 19. verse 51. Dawid ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it from the sheath, the sword of the Philistine, and slew him and cut off his head with it. 3772, cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their mighty man, 1368, was dead, they fled. Oh, I guess. The men of Israel and Yehuda rose up and shouted a war cry, 7321, and pursued the Philistine until you come to the valley, 1560, and to the gate of Ekron. And the mortally wounded, 2491, Philistine fell down on the road to Sha'arayim. 8199, unto Gath, 1661, and to Ekron. Now, the valley, 1516, is Gai. And the Septuagint reads Gath, 1661. So there is a difference between the Hebrew. When, until you come to the valley in the Hebrew, and until you come to Gath in the Septuagint. Verse 53. The children of Israel returned from hotly pursuing, that's 1814, after the Philistine, and they looted, 8155, their camp. In other words, they just all ran off and left their stuff. Verse 54. Dawid took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Verse 55. When Shaul saw David go forth to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this boy? And Abner said, by your life, O king, I do not know. Well, he knew who David was, but he didn't know who his dad was. Verse 56, said the king, inquire whose son the youth is, 5958, youth. 57, Dawid returned from smiting the Philistine, and Abner took him and brought him before Shaul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. 58, said Shaul to him, whose son are you, boy? And Dawid replied, I am the son of your servant, Yishai, the Bethlehemite. That means the Yishai of Bethlehem. Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. This chapter really doesn't need a lot of verse-by-verse commentary. So I'm going to get into chapter 18 here. And this is where Dawid and Jonathan become friends. And I told you, they became very, very close. So here we go on this. Make a little note here. Verse 1 of chapter 18. And it was when he had made an end, 3615, of speaking to Shaul, that the soul, 5315, of Jonathan, okay, was bound, 7194, with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Now that's brotherly love. That's not any kind of homosexual nonsense. This guy was just great, and Jonathan really respected him, and something just clicked, and they became best buds. And remember, Jonathan was a much better man than Shaul, his father. His father was a knucklehead. And just really, was incompetent. I'm sorry, but that's how it is with Shaul. He just wasn't much. So, Jonathan really liked David. Verse 2, and Shaul took him that day, would not let him return any more to his father's house. So he was transferred by order of the king to the court. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as himself. All right. Now, all of this you can reference for 157 as a great friendship. These are the references that proves it's not sexual love. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Matthew 5, verse 43 and 19. Verse 19 and 22, verse 39. Mark chapter 12, verses 31 and 33. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. And James chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 4, Jonathan put off, 6584, the robe, this is a royal robe because he was son of the king, 4598, that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his fighting garments, 4055, even to his sword and bow and his belt, 2290. And verse 2, when Shaul wouldn't let him return to his father's house, see 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 52. And verse 4, this 4598 is Me'il. It's a royal garment of rank worn over an inner tunic. So this is pretty important. This is the king's son giving royal garments to David. That shows his status. Verse 5. David went forth when wherever Shaul sent him, and he had success, 7919, Yasakil. And Shaul set him over the men of war, and he was pleasing, 3190, in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Shaul's servants. In other words, he was very competent at the tasks that he was given to do, and gained great favor among even the servants of Shaul. Verse 6, it was as they came, when Dawid returned from killing the Philistine, the women came forth from all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet Shaul the king, with tambourines, revelry, and sistrums. That's Bishalishim, and that meaning for sistrums is unclear. We really don't know. Here's a problem. Verse 7. The women sang as they played, saying, Shaul has slain his thousands, which he didn't do. This is an exaggeration. This is what they did in the Hebrew. They exaggerated the numbers to make it more magnificent. Shaul has slain his thousands, Dawid his tens of thousands. Literally, no. This is figurative and poetic usage. Verse 8, burn with anger, 2734, Shaul greatly. Displeasing in his eyes was the saying, for he said, to Dawid they have given tens of thousands, and to me they have given thousands. What more, if only the kingship? 44:10. Bad news, this starts the trouble. Because he had that disruptive, maleficent spirit on him. Verse 9, and Shaul eyed 5770, in other words, kept his eyes, a suspicious eye on Dawid from that day onward. Verse 10, it was on the morrow, in other words, in the morning, that rushed the spirit of evil from Elohim upon Shaul, and he was excited to violence, 5012, in the midst of the house. And Dawid played with his hand, as at other times, in other words, to calm him down, and a javelin, remember I talked about javelins, 2595, was in Shaul's hand. And Shaul cast, 2904, the javelin, saying, I will smite Dawid to the wall. And Dawid turned away, 5437, from his presence twice. Verse 12, Shaul feared from the presence of Dawid, because Yahweh was with him, and was departed from with Shaul. Verse 13, therefore Shaul removed him from beside him and made him captain over a thousands, and he went forth and came in before the people. He put him in charge of a legion of troops to get him out of that house. Verse 14, and Dawid had success in all his ways, and Yahweh was with him. Verse 15, and when Shaul saw that he had success, he was afraid of his presence. And he was getting paranoid. This spirit was just tearing him. This is the beginning of the end for Shaul. Verse 16, but all of Israel and Yehuda loved Dawid because he went out and came in before them. He just didn't have any arrogance. Verse 17, said Shaul to Dawid, behold, my elder daughter Merab, I will give her to you to wife. Only be a son of valor for me and fight Yahweh's battles. Because Shaul said in his heart, 559, let not my hand be upon him, but the hand of the Philistine be upon him. Now, nobody's going to send him out to get him killed. Verse 18, said Dawid to Shaul, who am I? What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should become the son-in-law to the king? Verse 19, but it was at the time when Merab, daughter of Shaul, should have been given to Dawid that she was given to Adriel, 5741 Nemecolothi 4259 to wife. Verse 20. Now, Michal, daughter of Shaul, loved David, and they told Shaul, and the thing was pleasing in his eyes. He was happy that he had a daughter to give to him. So, verse 21, Shaul said in his heart, I will give her to him, though so she can may be a snare, 4170, to him, that the hand of the Philistine may be on him. Said Shaul to David, You shall be this day my son-in-law by the second daughter. 8147, second. Verse 22, commanded Shaul his servants, speak with David secretly, 3909, saying, behold, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now, therefore, become the king's son-in-law. Verse 23, the servants of Shaul spoke these words in the ear of David. Said David, in your eyes, is it a light thing, 7043, to be a king's son-in-law? Seeing I am a poor man, 7326, and lightly esteemed, 7034. He didn't know how much people have thought of him. He was very humble. Verse 24, the servants of Shaul reported to him, saying, on this manner spoke David, or David. Verse 25, said Shaul, thus say you to David, the king desires, 2656, no bride price, 4119, but 100 foreskins of the Philistim, to be avenged of the king's hated enemies. In other words, to get those 100 foreskins, you had to kill the Philistine to get his foreskin. He wasn't going to let you walk up and circumcise him with a sword. But Shaul planned, 2803, to make David fall by the hands of the Philistine. Of course. Wanted to get rid of him. He was jealous and afraid and paranoid, and he was going slowly insane. Verse 26, when the servants told David these words, the thing was pleasing in the eyes of David to become the king's son-in-law, and the days were not fulfilled. 4390, that's the days of betrothment before the marriage. So he still had some time to go. Verse 27. So David rose up and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistine 200 men. And David brought their foreskins in full to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Didn't give him 100, he gave him 200. And Shaul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. Verse 28. Shaul perceived and knew that Yahweh was with David, and Michal, Shaul's daughter, loved him. Verse 29. Shaul was even more afraid from the presence of David, and Shaul became David's hated enemy all the days. In other words, he finally just went over the edge and hated one of the greatest assets he ever had. Crazy. Verse 30. Then the chiefs of the Philistine went forth, and it was, as often as they went forth, David had success more than all the servants of Shaul. So his name had much esteem, 3365. And he was going out and he was just whooping up on the Philistines. Much more than any of the other troops, much more than Shaul and his commanders and all this other nonsense. And he was best friends with Jonathan. They were kindred spirits. Okay? Something in Jonathan recognized David's greatness and Yahweh's presence. And verse 6. Okay? There is a problem with verse 6. The Hebrew now has the women greeting Shaul, but the Septuagint, which is a copy of the original Hebrew, has them greeting David. The king isn't mentioned. And a sistrum is some kind of musical instrument. It has three of something. Sides, strings, bars for tone. We just don't know. We've lost a full description of that instrument. The numbers of the slain in the song are poetical. They're not literal. That happens a lot in the Hebrew. And Shaul is setting David or David up for the kill, hoping he'll go out and get whacked by the Philistine. But that's not going to happen. David's going to kill 200 of them instead of 100. So it's even a greater surprise to Shaul and makes him even more afraid. We're starting to see the downhill slide of the mentality of Shaul. Yahweh is bringing this on him to destroy him. He's going to eliminate him. And this is the process that he's following to get rid of him. Shaul disobeyed and has become a complete fool, can't lead the army. He's not fit. And Yahweh has sent a massive depression on him. In reality, we know what clinical depression is today. They didn't know then, so this is how they described it. All the symptoms match what we know today to be as depression. And the hallucinations, just he was getting schizophrenic, he was just having real mental problems. Getting ready to be taken out of the picture by Yahweh. I mean, that's just how it's going to play out. I really feel sorry for the poor guy. He's just a chowderhead. he never should have been picked as king because he couldn't handle the authority and he just had too much of an ego. And like I said yesterday, the big bully complex. He was bigger than everybody else, and he figured because he was bigger, he was right all the time. Well, that's not how it works. He was not competent. So, now he's trying to kill David, and this isn't only going to occur once. This is going to be an ongoing thing until Shaul's death. I mean, he repents and relents, and then he goes right back to doing the same thing. He's going crazy. That's what's happening to him. And it's going to get him killed. And unfortunately, eventually, it's going to get Jonathan killed with him, which is going to hurt Dawid greatly because Jonathan was his best friend. Seriously. They were really tight. A lot of the veterans that have seen combat know that they had just one or two guys in the squad that they hung with that they were buds, man. That was just, there's a bond when you go into battle that you can depend and rely on certain people, and you really get to be close friends. I mean, you're hanging your life on them, and their lives are on you, and you look out for one another. That's the way it works. And it was no different back then. It hasn't changed. There are people that are really great people, and you trust them, and they're the right kind of people. And there are other people that you wouldn't touch with a stolen 10-foot pole. You don't want anything to do with them. They're not reliable. They're creepy. They just don't make it, you know. They're not your kind of folks. Well, it was that way back in Dawid's time. And they were doing hand-to-hand combat back then. There was no artillery or rifles. You didn't kill at a distance. You were right up close and personal with swords and shields. It was brutal. It was bloody. It was horrible. And if you weren't a mighty man of valor, you didn't go out on that field. I mean, if you had fear and trepidation, that would get you killed. You'd hesitate. You'd cower back. And not only would you get yourself killed, you'd probably get the guy next to you killed because you couldn't guard his side. So they left all the cowards back in the camp. They said, no, I don't want to go out there. Okay. You stay in the rear with the gear and you can clean stuff up. But don't talk to me again. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't like a coward. So that's how that works. Well, we're just about coming down the end of the hour. This book of Shemuel is just rocking. All kinds of exciting stuff. All kinds of little goodies that the churchianity has left out. That I'm imparting to you all the little insights and the metaphors and word corrections. I'm so pleased to be able to do this. I really am. Even with the coughing and the bronchitis, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to serve Yahweh till I drop, I guess. No problem. It's a pleasure and a privilege. I say Shalom Aleichem. I'm going to talk to you on Monday with chapters 19 and 20. And you have a good weekend. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Talk to you on Monday. Praise Yahweh.